Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African men's football. Teams across the continent will resume the qualifying campaign next week for the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar. There are two rounds of matches in November, and after those fixtures, 10 African teams will remain in contention for a World Cup berth. They'll be drawn into five home and away ties in March 2022, and the winner of each tie qualifies for the World Cup in Qatar. So far, Morocco and Senegal have already advanced to the 10-team African playoff round. Let's take a look at their World Cup pedigrees. The Atlas Lions of Morocco have made five World Cup appearances, with their best showing in 1986 when they reached the round of 16 in Mexico. Meanwhile, another pride of Lions, the Lions of Teranga of Senegal, have made two World Cup appearances. Their best showing was their World Cup debut in 2002 when they advanced to the quarterfinals in Group C of African World Cup qualifying. The Super Eagles of Nigeria currently lead with 10 points from four matches. Nigeria will next play Liberia on November 13th in Morocco and then return home to host Cape Verde on November 16th in Lagos. Nigeria's German manager, Gernot Rohr, recently named a 24-man roster for the World Cup qualifiers. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with African football analyst Emmanuel Okara.
With regard to the list of players invited by coach Gernot Rohr ahead of the World Cup qualifiers against Cape Verde and Liberia, I would say the list is fairly okay, made up of the usual suspects, and I believe the boys should be able to get the job done. The onus is on the coach to make sure that he puts out a side that can get the results for us, not only the results, the required points to take us to Qatar. Other than that, I would say the list is okay, but I was surprised that Victor Osimhen was included, because from the last I heard about him, he was injured, and I don't know how fit he will be before the World Cup World Cup qualifier engagements against Cape Verde and Liberia.
Highlight of the team roster released by Coach Gernot Rohr is the recall of Odion Ighalo, who quit international game 2 years ago. Do you think this will go well with the team?
Even though Coach Gernot Rohr and Amaju Pinnick, the NFF president, might have the interest of the nation at heart in inviting Odion Jude Ighalo to the national team, a player who, shortly after the 2018 World Cup, retired, was persuaded to come back, retired again after the 2019 Nations Cup, retired now, is coming out of retirement for the third time. I mean, this, if you ask me, it's demoralizing. Demoralizing in the sense that it's as if our football has gone static and is not moving. You have enterprising players coming up the ranks, Emmanuel Dennis, Kelechi Iheanacho, Victor Osimhen, Paul Onuachu, and now suddenly you are bringing somebody who has retired to dampen, if you ask me, that's what it will do, to dampen their morale. Because right now, the fellow that has been sacrificed for the return of Victor Osimhen is Taiwo Awoniyi, who is doing very well. So I don't know why now, maybe after this Qatar World Cup, Odion Jude Ighalo will retire, then we'll go and beg him again to come back for the fourth time. For goodness sake, we should be moving forward, not going backward. When Johan Cruyff left the Dutch national team, the Dutch national team went on and did not go and beg him. Maradona, same. Michel Platini. So why should we go in, you know, take two steps forward, five steps backwards? I am not impressed, if you ask me. But if he has a job to do, like the coach feels, well, They can invite me, but if you ask me, I am not in any way enthralled.
What are the chances of the Super Eagles in the games against Liberia and Cape Verde?
Like I said earlier, the players invited by Coach Kenneth Rowe for the World Cup qualifiers against Liberia and Cape Verde, they have everything it takes to win that match. The most important is that they have to be focused, play as a team, and not think of personal glory. Execute whatever match plan Coach Kenneth Rowe has. The most important thing is for us to get the maximum 6 points that will take us safely to Qatar. Whatever my misgivings, I wish the team all the best, and I wish Nigeria good luck in the task ahead.
That's African football analyst Emmanuel Okara. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Chairman Christian Chukwu, former captain of national team Green Eagles, former coach of Super Eagles, former coach of Kenya national team, former coach of Safa of Lebanon. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Still with African men's football, we're now 66 days away to the Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. But there are major health concerns in the country ahead of the competition. A cholera outbreak has claimed 13 lives this week and sickened several hundred people. Moki Edwin Kinzaka reports from Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Cameroon's Health Minister Manaouda Malachi, in a release this week, said thousands of civilians in the capital city Yaoundé and Ekondo Titi, an English-speaking western town, are threatened by cholera. Cholera is an infectious and often fatal bacterial disease of the small intestine, typically contracted from infected water supplies and food. It causes severe vomiting and diarrhea and can kill within hours if left untreated. Emos Komin Jikang is the medical doctor in charge of the Ekondo Titi Hospital. Jikang says he has dispatched health workers to the community to search for and transport cholera patients to the hospital. He spoke via telephone from Ekondo Titi.
4 more cases came in between yesterday and early this morning. We have made plans of transportation of new cases from the community to the health facility at Bamuso. We have also tried to increase personal hygiene, hand washing of whatever we consume. We're trying to tell them how to purify the waters before they drink.
The health ministry says several hundred patients have been rushed to hospitals in Yaoundé and Ekondo Titi. The government said it recorded at least 13 cholera-related deaths in the two towns since Monday. It is feared the outbreak may have claimed more lives in villages which lack health infrastructure. This week, the Ministry of Health said it dispatched several dozen health workers to ask civilians to improve hygiene and sanitation. The health workers say people who eat uncooked food and unwashed fruits or drink water that is not boiled risk being contaminated. The cholera outbreak is reported as Cameroon prepares to host the African Football Cup of Nations, AFCON, starting on January 9. Yaoundé, which will host teams from 8 African nations in the continental soccer event, has reported at least 100 cholera cases. Yaoundé City Mayor Luc Messi Atangana says he is cleaning up the city and improving the drinkable water supply to stop cholera from spreading. Atangana spoke during a press conference on Tuesday. He says the cholera outbreak is provoked by the increasing refuse dumped by civilians on street corners. Atangana says he has hired 30 trash trucks to add to 200 others that clear Yaoundé of municipal solid waste. He says he expects Yaoundé to be clean and free from cholera within the next 2 weeks. The health ministry reports that the cholera outbreak may be difficult to contain. Less than 30% of the population visit hospitals either because of ignorance or because some civilians prefer traditional African medicine. Health workers are urging civilians to refer suspected cholera cases to the nearest hospitals. Moki Edwin Kinzuka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. To help promote the Africa Cup of Nations football tournament, sponsors recently showed off the Nations Cup trophy in Malawi. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Lamech Messina reports from Blantyre, Malawi. Sporty greetings, Lamech.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. There was a pomp and jubilation here in Blantyre, where the Africa Cup of Nations trophy was paraded around Malawi's capital. Scores of fans rushed to get a close glimpse of the gold trophy. They cheered and whistled as the motorcade passed by. The parade was sponsored by Total Energies, which is also an official sponsor of the Nations Cup. To help promote the tournament, the company is conducting events in 18 African countries that have qualified for the 2022 competition in Cameroon. The street parade was followed by an evening cocktail event where Malawi soccer officials expressed hope for Malawi to win the cup. Rosina Kazembe is a board member of National Council of Sports in Malawi.
The presence of the trophy today, which is a historic event never before seen in Malawi, makes me proud as council of the achievement that our fine young men have accomplished. It is my hope that this moment makes us reflective as a country of how much more we can achieve in the field of sports.
Kazembe says the event gives hope for Malawi to lift the cup.
I believe the presence of the trophy here at this event will also light a fire in the bellies of the flames and will provide the necessary push for them to strive hard in Cameroon to bring the trophy home. I would like to encourage the Flames to prepare the best way they can so that they may win the trophy with the support from government and the Football Association of Malawi.
This is the third time Malawi has made it to the AFCON finals, with previous experiences in 1984 and 2010. Malawi is in Group B along with Senegal, Guinea and Zimbabwe. Water Nyamilandu is the president of Football Association of Malawi.
We're in a tough group, but we're very confident that we can do better. Our team has improved tremendously. You have seen that we're able to withstand the biggest teams on the continent. And we have a unique way of playing football. We borrow our philosophy from Barcelona. We keep the ball as much as possible and knock on the door as much as possible. And I believe we'll be able to find a winning formula that will make Malawians very happy.
Meke Mwa says the coach for Malawi's national football team, popularly known as the Flames. He comments on the team's preparations.
One of the preparations that we are doing is the ones that we are now in the World Cup. We're remaining with two games, but I hope the management as well is preparing for us to go for a training program somewhere.
Meanwhile, soccer fans in Malawi say that they expect nothing less than the Flames to return home with the trophy. One of them is Kaira Suti.
The advice that I could give is that they should just bring that trophy back home. We are waiting for that trophy. And we will be behind them, supporting them, encouraging them, and they know that the whole nation is standing behind them.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Lamek Masina in Blantyre, Malawi.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week. Right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. In African cycling, the 10-day Tour du Faso is heading into its final stages this weekend in Burkina Faso. One Burkinabe rider is hoping to build on his Summer Olympics performance and secure victory despite security concerns. Henry Wilkins follows the race north from Lumbila, Burkina Faso.
Paul Dumont is one of 80 cyclists taking part in this year's Tour de Faso, Burkina Faso's answer to the world-famous Tour de France bicycle race. Since October 29th, cyclists have pedalled their way across the country with a new stage each day. Dumont is back from the Olympics in Tokyo and hopes to improve on his performance in his home country. He says breaking into cycling was tough, but at just 22, it has already taken him all over the world, from Japan to Switzerland. He says cycling, whether in Burkina Faso or the rest of the world, is a sport that is difficult to get into because you need a machine, and those machines are relatively expensive. He says you have to be lucky enough to already have a bike or to know someone who can lend one to you to get started. Dumont says the Cycling Federation in Burkina Faso helped him with a road racing bike after he showed potential. But you need a good bike to get to that level in the first place. Despite difficulties with access, the sport of cycling is becoming more popular in Africa, and the Union Cycliste International's annual Africa Tour takes in 11 countries, including Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso is in the midst of a six-year conflict involving terror groups linked to the Islamic State group, Al-Qaeda, and local bandits, and security has deteriorated in recent months. The organisers and participants at this year's event, however, were pushing ahead, and the atmosphere was festive. When asked about security, Laurent Bezot of Union Cycliste International, one of the organisers, said it was a concern.
Yeah, sure. It's one of the big difficulties for us, because of course when we have, for example, European countries, we are not all the time sure. But we have a big organization. We have the military with us. We have the police with us.
Contenders from Europe, such as Johan Beten, say they're not worried about security.
Oh, I don't feel unsafe at all. I think everyone is very friendly, and I haven't felt unsafe at all. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here.
Local riders say they're enjoying the cosmopolitan nature of the event, but have their eyes on the prize. Burkinabe cyclist W. Mathias Sorgo says he's thankful to the foreigners who came, and he also thanks the cyclists, the runners from Burkina Faso. May God give us the yellow jersey, he adds. Meanwhile, Dumont has already placed in the top 10 in the first two stages of the Tour de Faso, which will reach its conclusion on Sunday. Henry Wilkins for VOA News, Lumbila, Burkina Faso.
My name is Shidalen, a Ugandan 400 meters Olympian at this year's Olympics. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Carol. Carol mentioned her Facebook and Twitter accounts. Well, our Sunny Side of Sports listeners can follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports. Just ahead, the AP's Chuck Freeman has some American-style football and National Basketball Association news, and Chuck will be kicking off with the National Football League.
The NFL's hottest team will not have their three-time MVP this Sunday, and perhaps longer. The Green Bay Packers will be without quarterback Aaron Rodgers, who's in the NFL's COVID-19 protocol. He reportedly has tested positive for COVID-19 and is unvaccinated. Rodgers will miss Sunday's showdown with the Kansas City Chiefs. Led by Rodgers, his team has won 7 in a row.
Nobody's going to feel sorry for us, and we all have to prepare to the best of our ability to go down there and get a win. And that's the mindset. I mean, they're not going to postpone or cancel the game.
Coach Matt LaFleur, the Packers will go with 2020 first-round draft pick Jordan Love, who will be making his first NFL start. Two teams off to great starts in the NBA faced off in Philadelphia as the Sixers took down the Chicago Bulls 103-98. The Sixers overcame 37 from the Bulls' DeMar DeRozan and won despite missing three starters, says Sixers forward George Niang.
We're having fun playing alongside each other. I think that's the biggest thing. The ball doesn't stick. It's flying around. Everybody's sharing the wealth, and everybody's genuinely happy. I mean, you look at the box score, it's like all spread out. I mean, everybody's able to do multiple things.
Seth Curry had a team high 22 for the Sixers.
Keeping it simple, man. Just trying to attack when I got the ball and got open shot. If not, if I draw two, just moving on to the next person.
Cleveland beat Portland 107-104. Miles Turner gunned in 7 three-pointers and 25 points as Indiana stopped New York 111-98. Dallas down San Antonio 109-108. Memphis 108. Denver 106. The LA Clippers used 32 from Paul George in a 126-115 road win at Minnesota. Brooklyn got 32 from Kevin Durant in a 117-108 win over Atlanta.
I was thinking we needed some experience just seeing what lineups work with what. With players, what sets work with, you know, each lineup. I think that's really what it is. And you need to play games to understand that. So we knew it was going to be a process for us.
Toronto got a 109-100 road win at Washington. Boston turned back Orlando on the road 92-79. Sacramento 112, New Orleans 99. It was Golden State 114, Charlotte 92.
Thanks, Chuck. That's the AP's Chuck Freeman.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis. Join me and a panel of journalists as we discuss the top stories of the week, including President Joe Biden promises a range of American goals aimed at curbing global warming as leaders gather in Glasgow, Scotland for the UN Climate Change Conference. This topic and lots more on Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Kim. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In European club football, Tottenham will host Vitesse Thursday evening in a Europa Conference League fixture. It will be Tottenham's first match under new Italian manager Antonio Conte. VOA's Gwen Uten joins us now with more details. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Tottenham have slipped to ninth place in Premier League standings and have struggled in the Europa Conference League, where they are third in Group G. And ahead of their Thursday UEFA Conference League fixture, Spurs captain Hugo Lloris told reporters his side needs to take responsibility for their recent form.
We have to share the responsibility. When it doesn't work, it doesn't belong only to one person or two or three with the staff. It belongs to everyone. Now is a new chapter. And with passion, with emotion, with demand, we need to increase our level. Individually, obviously, to help the team to get better.
That new chapter is marked by new management for Tottenham. On Monday, the club fired manager Nuno Espirito Santo after only 10 Premier League games. Nuno and his coaching staff were relieved of their duties following a 3-0 home loss to Manchester United over the weekend. Shortly afterwards, Tottenham hired its third manager in 7 months, Antonio Conte. And Hugo Lloris says his resume speaks for itself.
He's the kind of manager that will help all the players to improve, all the club to improve. His CV talks by itself. This week is really important for the club, and even if we have a short time to prepare the two games ahead of us, he tries to give us a lot of information about the structure that he wants to put into the team, and then obviously the players we have to deliver his expectations. It's never easy to see a manager leaving a changing room, leaving a club, and we have to show our respect to Nuno, and then we have to welcome Antonio Conte and his staff in the best way, and we have to make sure that we are ready to give our best for him and for them and for the club and for the fans.
The Hotspurs reached their first ever Champions League final in 2019, but the club does not expect Conte to deliver instant success in his first season. And managing director Fabio Paratici says the team must practice patience in their quest for a championship title.
We serve to win every game. We serve to do the best every game. And to build the best in this season and the next seasons. Because sometimes you have to be patient for to achieve results. You have to be ready to suffer, to sacrifice yourself for the group. This is our mentality, and we have to improve in this way.
And Hugo Lloris adds playing under Coach Conte will give his side a much-needed jolt.
It's quite simple, he's very ambitious. And he's going to give, his best to help the team to improve. He's going to give a structure, a proper structure to the team. And but I think it's a great opportunity to work under one of the greatest manager of the last few years. So but now is not time for words. It's time to work. It's time to believe again in ourselves, in our team, in our club. And step by step, we're going to try to improve and reach the level that should be our level.
Tottenham hosts Vitesse in the Europa Conference League on Thursday. Then they travel to Goodison Park to face Everton for their Premier League match on Sunday. And that is all for me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And taking a quick look at the Premier League standings, Chelsea is at the top of the table with 25 points from 10 matches. Liverpool in second place with 22 points, followed by Manchester City and West Ham United with 20 points each. Wraps up the November 4th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.